What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 27 of the Jungle Podcast. I'm Carter.
27?
27, yeah. I know. It's crazy. Bro, we've been going for like 8 months now or something like that.
Doesn't even feel like it.
Yeah, right? No, yeah. The end of 2020 and 2021 have gone so quick. So quick.
Yeah, ridiculously quick. What the hell?
Yeah. For anybody that watched the last episode and Steven and I made predictions on WandaVision, we were completely wrong. We're just stupid.
I'm about to start it tonight. I have not seen any episodes yet.
Yo, you haven't
yet,
seen so... any? Oh,
no, Shane and I have been waiting. Shane and I have been waiting.
Dude, it's insane. It's so good.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah.
We're watching it all. We're trying to get it all done before Falcon and Winter Soldier comes out.
Oh, yeah.
In case there's anything that I need to know from WandaVision, I'm finna know it.
So. Yeah, see, that's the one thing that I'm like kind of confused on, because WandaVision was supposed to be like the fourth thing released, right? And then it was supposed to be like Black Widow, I think Falcon and Winter Soldier and something else, then WandaVision.
Yeah.
So it's weird that like they changed the order. So I don't know if there's going to be anything that connects. Maybe like references, but... Yeah, anyways, you had a topic on music or music-related topic?
Yeah, actually.
Speaking of which, you know, the Grammys?
That's just kind of what I was going to talk about. I was like, so, as you know, like The Weeknd had this whole scuffle with the Grammys. And there's many artists over the years that have had scuffles with the Grammys and like what they consider to be what genre and who gets nominated, who gets snubbed, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So... I was kind of curious to what your thought process was in regards to like, because my example is using The Weeknd, but like just in general, what do you think of the Grammys and how much weight should they hold in terms of an artist's success? If they should update the Grammys as an award to, you know, like at least keep up with the times, because there's definitely portions of the Grammys that are a little more, are way more outdated in terms of their process and everything. So I just wanted to see where your head was at with that.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know if people should really, like, put that much weight into award shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. When people say, like, oh, Grammy nominated or Grammy winner, it's like, who cares? Like, it's somebody's opinion. Like, you have great actors like Leonardo DiCaprio that didn't win an Oscar for, like, most of their career. And they were they're still considered, like, some of the best artists ever. Like, The Weeknd hasn't won a Grammy yet, right?
I think he didn't he win one for Beauty Behind the Madness?
I'm not sure. I honestly don't like pay attention to the
I don't pay too much attention to the actual award shows themselves, but I do pay attention to the, I guess you could say, the musical politics in a sense around them. Like if there's an artist that I enjoy or that is pretty well known that gets snubbed from the Grammys, it becomes a big deal because the Grammys are supposed to be these awards that are held in high regard in the music industry. You know what I mean? Like if someone's like a Grammy nominated or Grammy award artist, like usually the perception is that they're really like notable or talented artist compared to someone who isn't a Grammy winner or Grammy nominated, which obviously always isn't the case. But it's just like a kind of like a quick measure of someone's career, which kind of sucks. But I'm not entirely sure. So let me double check here. I can't remember if he actually won. Did he win?
Yeah, some of these that, so like I just Googled like snubs and surprises of this year. Billboard mentioned that Anderson .Paak's Lockdown, that won Best Melodic Rap Performance, was a surprise. What do you mean? It's Anderson .Paak, you don't miss. How's it a surprise?
That's, again, like that's the whole thing. That's the whole issue with these things is that it's all these people that vote on it, it's opinionated, right? Like, so it's,
yeah.
You're just trying to gain the general consensus. The Weeknd has won 3 Grammys out of 10 nominations. So he won Beauty Behind the Madness for Best Urban Contemporary, Best R&B Performance for Earned It, and then Starboy Best Urban Contemporary Album as well. So he has won Grammys before, but I think it was honestly kind of crazy how he wasn't even nominated for After Hours. After yeah. Hours was like, it was sonically like you could, it was very reminiscent of like 80s, typical 80s music. Like that was definitely an inspiration for him. And like, obviously The Weeknd being like Michael Jackson Jr. in his, both in his style and his sound, his cadences, his tones.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty clear that his obvious influences would have been like Michael Jackson, Prince, etc.
Yeah.
So to hear an album like After Hours come out in today's landscape where everything is definitely very auto-tuned, there's a lot, he uses auto-tune on the album at certain points, but like his voice is just so naturally good that like you probably don't even notice the auto-tune parts.
Yeah.
And no, you probably wouldn't. I wouldn't say I noticed any auto-tune. Like there's definitely auto-tune in there. Like it's kind of unavoidable to use nowadays, even if you are a talented singer. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to see what your thought process was on award shows like these and how much weight they should hold in an artist's career and if that should be the make or break, like gold standard per se.
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like as like an artist or an actor or whatever, like your sort of level of success should be whether people watch your movies, whether people like you, like rather than like an Academy Award. I get, obviously that's like a good benchmark to be like, yeah, like these people who are supposed to like know what they're talking about really enjoy my work or my role in a movie or whatever. But I don't know, at the end of the day, it's somebody's opinion based on like some random criteria. It's like,
yeah, I think you guys were talking about, so this goes into obviously into any form of media, but Iron Man 3, you were saying that, if I recall the other day in our group chat, that you personally really enjoyed it, even though like most people think that Iron Man 3 was kind of eh.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the best movie.
I'm not saying that's in my top five favorite movies of all time, and I don't think that it is for you either, but like it definitely gets a lot more flack than it need be. Like I wouldn't even say that was a bad movie. Maybe bad by like Marvel standards, but like generally it was like decent, you know.
Well, it's like even this Iron Man 2 and 3, it's like, I don't know, it seems like at the end of the movie, it feels like it fell flat, but then you think of the middle bits and you're like, no, it's pretty good. But I think it's because you had, like in Iron Man 3, you had that like villain switch out of nowhere. Like you weren't really introduced that well to Aldrich Killian or whatever. He just sort of like popped up out of nowhere.
Because they initially introduced it as like the Mandarin, right? If I'm not mistaken. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, psych, it's Aldrich Killian or whatever his name is.
Yeah. But in terms of the theme of, because like basically all of Iron Man's villains are like people. Essentially, he creates his own villains. Not like physically like tweaking, you know, people and engineering.
Just like series of events, butterfly effect, you end up creating someone that really wants to fucking kill you.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you're at the top, people
isn't that how they, Mysterio gets introduced, they kind of
essentially
that earlier moment where he has that like realistic AR technology or whatever the hell with those little drones, and then they kind of just shove Jake Gyllenhaal's face in the background in Spider-Man Far From Home. It's like, oh yeah, he was here at this time.
Yeah, and they're like, well, he was actually the engineer that created the technology, and then Tony just like took credit. So like basically all those villains are created, but I don't know, I feel like a lot of movies are, or at least a lot of Marvel movies, since they've been like the past, you know, in the past they've been like the movies to watch, like the blockbuster movies of the year or whatever. Yeah. So they're usually in like the public eye and being criticized. But I don't know, I feel like there's elements of them that are still like really, really solid. Like the whole foreshadowing of Tony's like PTSD and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like people kind of underestimate how like important that is. That's literally like setting up Endgame and setting up Infinity Wars.
Yeah, it's not something that you would think about as an average fan of it, but like you would definitely pay way more attention to that if you were more into the movies. So like I would say, like me and you, like that's something you'd catch on pretty quickly, or if not like within the first few times of viewing it. But like if you're just someone that goes to these movies because it's like almost like a thing to do, like it definitely is like it's just a whole cultural thing where people go to Marvel movies just because it's a Marvel movie, like not because they're actually super invested in how the stories connect, how this a sequence of events leads into the next movie for these sequence of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they just enjoy them as like standalone movies here and there, or it's like a character they really like.
Yeah. I think also in hindsight, because you have like the knowledge of what happens later, you look back at it and you're like, whoa, like they were playing 4D chess. Everybody else is playing checkers.
4D chess.
These guys are teleporting in chess. Yeah. So, and I mean, it kind of happens like that with like music as well, where like you'll listen to something at first and it's like, it's not that good. And then you hear like other albums that came out from like different artists that you might be like waiting for. And then those albums are actually not that great. And you go back to like the original artist that you were listening to and you're like, nah, it's good, I guess.
Yeah.
But
so if you were to listen to two different people, I'm gonna just call them artist A, artist B. It's a genre you like.
Okay.
One's Grammy nominated 6 times and only won once. The other one is only nominated once and won that one time. Both have critically acclaimed albums, but both also have like multiple misses. Which artist would you rather like have if you were a label person, and if you were like someone who's listening, like who do you think you would gravitate towards more?
Well, I guess
I'm just trying to gauge the sense of like the weight of a Grammy Award nomination compared to the actual award.
I mean, I guess in terms of like branding, you can like, you see, you said they were nominated 6 times. They won how many times?
Once.
Ooh. I mean, they're still nominated 6 times, so it's your like, you can say like, oh, 6-time Grammy nominated, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can say also a Grammy Award winner. So like in terms of marketability, it's a little bit nicer, but at on the other end, like other person's 100% win rate
is 1-for-1.
They don't lose.
You know, 3-for-6 or 6-0. No.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. That's the knock on every superstar after Jordan. If you don't win 6-0, you ain't shit.
Can you imagine if someone went 7-0, but as a role player, they just like Patrick McCaw.
Yeah,
my guy's got what, 3 chips now?
3 chips, yeah, yeah, like yeah. I guess if you were a role player and you win 6 times or 7 times, and never
having a Robert Horry.
Yeah, he won 7 times, but he didn't.
Like, yeah,
he's not 7-0. But yeah.
I mean, anyway, sorry. Back to the point.
Right.
Continuing on the topic of music, because obviously me and you are both big on hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure if this is true or not. Like, I just kind of saw an Instagram post and I was like, oh, it's crazy. And then I saw an Instagram post today, so I had to do some research. But apparently last week, Billboard or some other charting streaming data service or whatever was saying that Drake was on pace to debut at number 1 and 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, but that his songs were not going to be able to, or like weren't eligible to be charting.
Yeah, I think I remember.
But then today, talking about this. But then today, I saw he debuted at 1, 2, and 3, and I was like, okay, well. This is fucking not fair.
Bro, so I mentioned Jordan being like, you know, there's no knock in his game. Bro, same with Drake. This dude has been on literally the number one hip-hop artist since he debuted. Never fallen off.
He's an interesting case, though, because obviously with the whole ghostwriting allegations and, you know, like, he's definitely not had, like, a clean history. He doesn't have that critically acclaimed masterpiece album.
Yeah.
Like, there's a community voted masterpiece album, whether that be your If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, or Take Care, or even Nothing Was the Same. But he's an interesting case because he has the numbers, he has the influence, he has decent enough lyricism. He's able to go and transcend genres, basically. Like, mm-hmm. He's gone into what? Reggaeton music. He's gone into grime. He's gone into fucking, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes into EDM or something next. And like, his cosign is worth so much. Like, there's so many different artists that like I now listen to, or I'm sure many other people listen to, like Giveon was definitely an underrated artist before, who wasn't really known too well. Then he did the Chicago freestyle, and I swear to God, Givion's everywhere now. Like, I don't think it's just me. I think it's, like, legitimately everywhere. Like, people want that Givion feature. People want to listen to Givion. And I'm like, that's a good thing at the end of the day. Like, he's putting, I guess, American culture to different genres of music, even though Givion's from America. I'm just more so referencing, like, his collab with Bad Bunny could definitely put some people onto, like, more Spanish-influenced music.
Mm-hmm.
His collab with, obviously, multiple UK artists. Like, he had Vivio. He's obviously worked with Gigs. He's worked with Heady One. So, like, I would say UK rap's definitely blown up a lot more in the past few years, and I think that's partially because of Drake. I don't think he's the sole factor, but he's definitely, like, a pretty big reason. He's the biggest artist in the world. Like, of course, he's going to have this set or this spread.
Yeah. I think it's also because, like, I mean, not only is Drake a style bender, but also just that, like...
he's a chameleon, for sure.
Yeah, but a lot of the, like, slang and sort of, like, culture is kind of similar between, like, Toronto and the UK. Like, you know...
using, like... like Jamaican patois and stuff.
Yeah.
So I know that's definitely a prevalent thing that people use in Toronto.
Yeah. Like, you literally listen to people from, like, the UK, and you listen to people from Toronto, and it's like they're saying there's the same thing.
There's definitely
overlaps.
It's just like a different accent. Yeah, overlaps.
Yeah.
Overlaps, yeah. I think that's another thing, though, is that people always knock on Drake, so culture vulture kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get that. I get that in some sense, because it's like, yes, like, he's straight up just, like, whitewashing, or I don't want to say whitewashing, but, like, immersing himself in, like, a really stream or watered down way of someone's culture in a feature. But I don't think it's really, I wouldn't really call it cultural appropriation in that sense, because I feel like he always pays homage. He puts people on, like, people are like, yeah, he shouldn't be using these, like, phrases and terms that, like, people in the UK use. I'm like, all right, that's fair. He doesn't need to use those terms, but, like, you can't even deny the fact that, like, there is so much influence in what he says and does that, like, it kind of puts that culture on the map a lot more than it would have been had he not done a COSA or had he not done a feature.
It's also like, I feel like when you're sort of, yeah, paying homage, making references to stuff, it's like, it's almost like a shout out, you know what I mean? It's like you're acknowledging them, you're acknowledging that like that culture or that like type music or whatever is important. And that, like, it's reached somewhere else and it's influencing other people in other places. And I think that's good. I mean, I guess, you know, some people might have different opinions on it, but, like, I don't know. I feel like sharing culture is not a bad thing.
No, like, if you respectfully share someone's culture, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, if you're not, like, respectfully share, yeah, like, if you're not dragging it, then...
I'm not saying Drake needs to go out and, like, straight up culturally appropriate, start wearing headdresses or something.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Indigenous culture. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Like, if he finds an underrated artist that's doing a genre of music that isn't really well known, and then he gives them a cosigner, a feature, he's a rap chameleon. Like, he's gonna try and mesh his sound. Like, he's not gonna try and throw in his typical style of rap into someone's genre of music that wouldn't work otherwise.
Yeah.
It's gonna sound so dumb.
I think the other thing that makes it work, and the reason why, like, Drake is so good at style bending, is that he doesn't bend another style to his own. He bends his own style to that, and he does it justice.
And what's crazy about it too is that you can kind of see the influence from there. Like, Toronto is definitely a melting pot, and there's so many different cultures and nationalities, I think, backgrounds that people come from, and it just all comes together full circle in Toronto. And it's like, of course he's gonna try and put other cultures on. Like, he walks down the street from his house and he sees, I don't know, some different kind of culture, and he's inspired by it, which is, like, that's fine. You can be inspired by a culture, I feel, so long as you're, you know, being respectful of the culture, you're not appropriating anything, then by all means, like, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what you want out of your culture, to be, you know, properly educated and shown throughout different forms of media? Like, this is how you get representation, I feel. This is, or, like, a main factor of representation is through, like, someone seeing it with a bigger platform and putting it onto the world.
Yeah, when it becomes pop culture, I feel like that is sort of the key of, like, it becoming, like, just normal. Like, everybody has their own stuff, and, like, it's all shared.
I'm not saying he needs to, like, do something that, like, he doesn't need to do a feature or something. He can just, like, pull a little influence from there and shout out, or, like, put give credit where credit is due, and that's all I think people really want. And I feel like he does that more often than not, but people just still don't, they don't actually see what he does. Like, if he's giving a cosign, he's doing all these things. Like, he's bringing people out to his shows that are from different parts of the world to go and perform in the States, or to go, or bring people from the States to go and perform in the UK or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's trying to mesh these cultures together so that, like, everyone can see how great it is. Obviously not without fault. Like, there's definitely been, I'm sure there's been some cases where it was straight up just like, yeah, he probably culture vultured that and just like took it and never really gave credit for it. But I don't know. That's a whole topic for another day. It's a little
yeah. There. But I mean, it, like, when you're trying different things, I mean, it's, you're going to yeah. piss somebody off. It's going to happen.
Like, if you try, like, I don't know, some Filipino dish or something, and then you end up making it at home, I'm not going to be like, you're stealing my culture. Like, I'm going to be like, good for you. You took the time to learn something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get why people are so nitpicky about this.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. They're like, they like hold it and they're like, it's mine.
Yeah. Like, if you teach me how to make, I don't know, fucking pierogies or something Polish or some shit, and then I go home and learn how to make homemade pierogies, and I'm like, oh yeah, Carter did this. Or Carter taught me how to do it.
Bro, I'm trying to try them. I'm testing you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why does everyone get so hurt? Like,
yeah,
I never understood that as a fan of music. Or like the other thing that I think J. Cole said is like, they act like two greats, two legends cannot coexist. Yeah, like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Competition in music, amazing. Like, it's cool to see people like spar it out essentially in the name of like competition, not because they hate each other, but just like, because, you know, it's just, you want to prove yourself, you got to go against the greats. Like, that's just what you do. And you're going to be held to an unbelievably high standard if you want to be considered great.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. So it's like, by all means, I'm in favor of like competition in any form of media, but like, people act like if you like one, you're not allowed to like the other. And that goes for movies, that goes for music, that goes for games, that goes for sports. Like, it goes for anything, obviously. I've never understood why.
Unless it's
Tom Holland and Tobey Maguire.
No, come on now. Tobey's still the best, Spidey.
He's not the best, but he's good. That's all I'm finna say.
I don't know. I like Tom Holland now, but oh man.
That's the thing, is that like, I feel like when we had that discussion initially, everyone thought that if you said that you like Tobey Maguire, you weren't allowed to like Tom Holland, or vice versa. And I'm like, no, like Tom Holland's an amazing, I think he's the best, but like, Tobey Maguire was a good Spider-Man. Like, he did it justice. I don't think anyone's going to deny that. I think the only knock on Tobey that I really legitimately had was that this man looked 40.
Oh, well, yeah.
And the third movie, the third movie is pretty.
Hey, all I'm saying is...
Is that the one with Sandman? Is that the one with Sandman, the third one? Yeah, see, that's the thing. Sandman is a cool-ass villain, but they...
Bro, all I'm saying is, you hear James Brown, I dare you, try not to like feel something. Try not to feel like he did in Spider-Man 3. It's impossible.
I just don't get the hair thing, man.
The hair thing was cheesy, but I mean, it is what it is. Okay, so on the topic of grades, you got people like Drake who stay around for years. They never fall off. You got people like Jay-Z, and we were talking about this like a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah, in the car.
They stay popular. They stay relevant. They might have their troughs and peaks, but
what's crazy about that, though, is I think it was Charlamagne saying that Jay-Z and Drake are the only two exceptions to the 15 minutes of fame rule, and I still stand by that.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's other acts that you can kind of say, but... I think it's because they're elusive. So like people like Kendrick Lamar, Frank Ocean, specifically within the hip hop scene, at least.
Yeah.
You could go into like jazz, soul, R&B. Like it's the same in any genre. Like there's people that just like, they don't take their foot off the gas and they stay relevant the whole time. And like, sure, they have their ups and downs, but like overall they're considered a great because of not only their longevity, but because of their innate ability to, you know, be dominant for that long. Then you have other people, it's like, few releases, but all of them are major in the credit or critically acclaimed, like concise pieces of work that's like, it's just such a good listen, or it's such a good watch, or you know, such a good experience for someone. So in terms of greats, Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I'm just curious what you had to say about grades.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, with those, like, few anomalies, and there might be more in today's age, or, like, artists on the come up, but who do you think in today's, like, I guess, hip-hop scene, do you think would be, like, the next Drake or Jay-Z? Somebody who's going to stick around for a while, if any.
Before he passed away, I honestly would have said Juice WRLD.
Mm.
I legitimately, like, that was the first artist in a really long time. I'm not even the hugest fan of Juice WRLD.
Yeah, me
neither. Or biggest fan of Juice WRLD. Like, it was never something to me that I was like, man, I gotta listen to his next album. But he showed all the characteristics that Drake showed when he was still coming up, albeit like a bit different because of how different the, you know, sonically the music landscape is, and like how things are. But like he legitimately could rap. Like, there's multiple freestyles he could go for hours, and like that's impressive in itself. He's relatable. Like, this is such a cliche because I feel like Lucid Dreams is kind of like an overplayed song, but it is like a pretty relatable feeling and like message that he gets across using the sounds and like the cadences that he does and the flows.
Yeah.
Obviously, his feature was worth pretty big because people like Juice WRLD enough that, like, oh man, like, I gotta listen to this Juice WRLD track or whatever. And like, he could fit in with multiple people. Like, he's a rap chameleon. He could be on more sing song, like melodic type rap. He could straight up, like, he has a song with, is it NBA Youngboy? Pretty sure he has a song. Bandit, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Like, something like that. Like, NBA Youngboy is far from what you would expect from a melodic rapper nowadays. Like, he's perceived to be much more of like a hard rapper. Not in the sense that like he's like extensively like lyrical, like just like his energy is definitely not like melodic and like
Black Air Force One energy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like he could fit with people like that. But like, I don't know, he's just so versatile that it's like that's someone you could see, or I could see at least, that it's like going forward, if Drake were to fall off today, he's someone I would expect to like kind of fill that void a little bit. Not perfectly, obviously, because I don't think he has as much like influence globally in the same sense, but that's because he's not been around as long. And obviously, rest in peace, Juice WRLD is unable to do so now. But that was one of the few people I was like, man, I could see Juice WRLD being the next Drake.
So with him mentioned, do you think X could have reached that level?
100%.
Okay. Because yeah. This is the thing, what ifs.
X and Juice WRLD are in the same category It's what ifs, but also like seeing how versatile they were and how talented they legitimately were. And like in terms of their knowledge of like how music is and like the whole quote unquote game and like the industry, of course, like I could have easily seen that. They just need a cosign from like someone big. So for example, Drake came up off the cosign from Lil Wayne and then all of a sudden took the game by storm and has not let off since.
That's true. Do you think that's like the key for artists nowadays?
Is it cosign? No.
No? Okay.
No.
Because it seems like you have...
It depends on what you're doing, though, okay, in terms of like music. Because if you're someone who's like more melodic and like sing-songy and not like doing like super hardcore lyrical stuff, cosign's obviously going to help, especially if it's from someone who's of note. But like, I wouldn't say it. Like, you could still blow up off of little to no cosign. So for example, like I would say 21 Savage, he's definitely in the newer school of rappers, but he was never like, I wouldn't say he really got cosigned by anyone. Like, yeah, there's people that were like, yeah, like this is a cosign, blah 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 blah, but like not to the extent that they gave him a feature or something. They were just like, oh yeah, 21 Savage is he's nice with it, that's it. Whereas like I'm thinking someone that might have just gotten their whole career jump started off of a feature. Like, Lil Baby was putting in work. But, like, I don't think much people were listening to Lil Baby until that Drake feature came out. Or...
That's fair.
You could say... Oh, man. You know, I don't like using this example because Young Thug's been grinding, but Young Thug's someone, one of those people that's been grinding. Is, like, if you're real into music and a fan of hip-hop, you've known Young Thug for a while. But, like,
yeah.
I bet you most people didn't hear of Young Thug until he started getting more and more, like, cosigns and features from rappers over the past few years.
See, I feel like the one anomaly to that, like, cosign rule is Fetty Wap. Because he had a song before the Drake co-sign.
He was going hard.
And then he, like, literally anything he put out was gold. And then he got the Drake feature on My Way. And then he had, like, what, two more songs after that and disappeared.
I don't like that feature. Like, I really don't. Like, it's not bad. Like, I don't hate it. But, like, it's just not, like, I would never say that, like, man, I can't wait to listen to the Fetty Wap remix. Or sorry, the My Way remix with Drake today. You know what I mean? Like, when I think Fetty Wap, I think his solo songs. I'm thinking 6 7 9. I'm thinking Trap Queen. Like, all these other songs, I'm like, I'd rather listen to that.
I mean,
My Way remix is like, like, it's a good song. Like, nothing wrong with it, but it's definitely not my favorite from Fetty Wap.
I think it's one of my favorite, like, most entertaining Drake features in the last, or I guess in that era. Because I don't know.
For its time, I think it was so good, well. But, like, I don't know. To me, I would never have that song playing now and be like, oh, fuck. Like, I got to keep this on repeat. It's a one-and-done thing to me. Okay, like, it's in my playlist. I like it enough to keep it in there, but, like, it's not, like,
let's be
something
real.
I'm going to go revisit.
Most replays, if you're replaying a song more than twice, it's either fresh out or you're crazy.
Yeah, you gotta either be really invested into it, or it's fresh.
Yeah, if you're replaying a song like three times back to back to back, and it's not like it dropped within the last,
unless you're
like,
one of those people that likes to like dissect it, like if it's a real heavy song. So for example, I'm pretty sure on Big Sean's new album he has a Friday Night Cypher with a bunch of different Detroit rappers.
Yeah,
I listened to that on repeat for like probably a week or two straight, just because I was like dissecting each verse and like, oh man, that's a good bar, or damn, that's cool how he switches up his tempo here, or how this beat switch affects this person's stuff. Like, that's just something I personally do, but I wouldn't say that most people are probably going to keep that song on repeat for more than, like, I don't know, a week tops.
Okay,
like,
but did you listen to it
listens tops?
Back to back to back, like three times in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're moving crazy.
Bro. It's interesting. It's a 12 minute song?
It's a 12 minute song?
Yeah, something like that. It's long. Like, it's a cipher. That's what I'm saying. But, like, you can listen to it because there's so many beat switches.
You listen to 36
so many different artists
minutes
on it.
The same song.
One sec. Let me pull this up one time. I got to see how long it is.
Bro, there's no way. It's got to be like one of those, like, weird songs.
Sorry, nine and a half minutes. 9.5 minutes.
Bro, you still listen to, like, 20 minutes of a song. The same song.
You heard it? Have you heard this song?
I haven't, but, like... Dog, that's crazy. 20 minutes in the same song.
It's a cipher. That, like, that, if there's any form of music that you could listen to back to back to back and probably like still be entertained after the second or third time, it's going to be a cipher because ciphers have different beats. Like, ciphers usually are longer because there's so many different artists on them and there's different beats and stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to be like just like two or three people. Like, a cipher has, I think, like 8 or 9 verses.
Okay, that's a little bit more fair. I still think it's crazy that he listened to it three times back to back to back, but whatever, we move.
All right, topic of greats.
Which
who
greats?
Do you think? No, this is in general. Going back to the whole Grammys thing and just awards. Yeah. This is in any form of media, not just music, but like, I'm thinking about the Grammys, but it could be in any form of media, whether it be an Oscar, a Tony, a Billboard Music Award, you know, whatever. Who do you think has the best case to be the best in their form of media based on their awards? If that makes sense. So, like, you could say Kanye or Jay-Z in Grammys because they have so freaking many. But then you look at it and they've also had extremely long careers.
Yeah.
Or you could look at someone who...
Well, that ties into it, though. Like, you need a long career to be able to win so many Grammys.
Yeah, like, or unless you somehow put back-to-back-to-back albums out and they're all just Grammy award-winning.
Shit, I guess
that would
if
be
you're
nuts.
Like a god for like a year and then you just win everything.
But then you have other people like Michael Jackson, I think, and Kendrick Lamar also had like a ridiculous amount of nominations in one ceremony. And I think they only went like 2 for 10 or something like that, which is like understandable because... You look at the competition they were against, and there was definitely some competition within them. Or you could be like Macklemore, and you could drop the heist and somehow beat out Jay-Z, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and Kanye West all in the same year. But who? It doesn't have to be Grammys, but just like in general, who do you think has like a really solid case just based off the awards they won to be like one of the greats? even though you might not think so.
Yeah, I don't know, because like I don't really like pay attention to the awards going off of their like potential for awards.
Actually, hold up. Let's switch it up. Who do you think is one of the best artists or in any form of media to have not won the like gold standard of an award in their respective medium? So like it could be an actor, actress not winning an Oscar. It could be someone not winning a Grammy. It could be someone not winning a Game of the Year award, or a game not winning the Game of the Year award, etc.
I gotta look it up, but I know there's a really famous actor that has still not won an Oscar. I can't remember who it is. Give me one second here.
Carter Pastusko in Domination.
Hey,
best shit. Lead performance.
Give me an award for every category for that masterpiece.
Chef's kiss.
Screenplay. Just the cinematography.
Even the voiceovers.
The costumes, set design.
Costumes.
So as of July 11th, 2020, here's a list of actors who haven't won. Will Smith never won a Grammy. Or not an Oscar.
Would you say that Will Smith's career is Oscar worthy, though? Because I personally would say this, but like there's a lot of people I know that would say otherwise. Bro, because they don't think that, like,
how?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
How are you not gonna get an Oscar
Fire
for that?
Movie?
7 pounds? How are you not gonna get an Oscar for that?
Hancock? No.
Oh my god.
Fucking he's versatile. He's got some range,
bro,
actually.
Bro, he's got range. More range. I'm going to say this, and this might be a hot take. More range than Nicolas Cage.
I mean, I agree, but again, I'm not as invested into movies. This is a topic for Steven. Because although Steven has not seen a lot of movies. Understandably so. Like, he can only watch so much, but like...
Okay, but here...
I would say Will Smith got a lot of range, actually. Now that I think about it.
Here's the next few on the list. Jake Gyllenhaal, Samuel Jackson... Edward Norton. Robert Downey Jr. has not won one. Taraji P. Henson. What?
Those are all actually pretty notable people. I'm surprised. I definitely would have thought Samuel Jackson would have won something. He's like... He's not the most versatile, but he's definitely talented at acting. Like, he gives off a pretty believable performance in most things that I've seen him in. Robert Downey Jr., aside from Tropic Thunder, the Iron Man movies, and like in general all those, I can't even remember what else I've seen him in. I think that's it, so I can't really talk too much about that. But I mean, hey, I enjoyed all those movies.
Ian McKellen, he's never won one.
Really?
Get this man an award.
Never won an Oscar, or never won like any kind of award, like
Oscar. I'm sure he's won awards somewhere.
See, but this is what I was trying to get at, is that like, how much weight do we really hold these awards to? Like,
again, yeah.
These are some phenomenal actors and I guess you didn't really say any actresses, but I'm sure there's many actresses that have not.
Well, Taraji P. Henson, like, there's
Yeah. But anyways, aside from the point.
Yeah.
So how much weight do people really need to hold to these? Because in my opinion, like, they should hold enough weight that, like, it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, yeah, they're talented enough to get nominated. Like, they not only popularity, but, like, critically it must have been decent enough that they got nominated, let alone like won an award. But there's definitely lots of people that have never won said award that are more than worthy of being called like one of the best actors, actresses of their generation, or musicians, or you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I was just that's why I asked you this question. I was just trying to get my point across, and I think I did it pretty well.
I mean,
is you just listed off a bunch of very notable actors and actresses that
and I said it at the beginning, it's somebody's opinion, who cares?
Yeah, it's subjective at the end of the day.
Yeah, if like the general public likes you, thinks you're good, that's all you want. Honestly, like, ultimately, it's the fans that buy tickets anyways. That's it. That's like the award, it's like award people, whatever the fuck it is,
the committees
the committees
behind them,
they're not paying you, they're not buying
you movies. And like, Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure the committees probably see, especially if it's like a cultural phenomenon in a sense, or like it's just something that noteworthy where they're like, oh yeah, let's go watch it. Like just as a casual fan and or, you know, observer or listener. I don't think they're doing that specifically because they have to vote on it and they're not paying you anything. I think they're more so just doing it because everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
But they also are the people that are lucky enough to be on said committee. I could be wrong though. I'm not entirely sure how all committees work in terms of how this voting process goes, but man,
I mean, the fact that the fact that we can name off some of these, like,
you can name a bunch of like
actors and like musical artists that still haven't won, whack.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could name off a bunch of musical artists that have never won Grammys, and I'm sure there's gonna be a bunch of people on there.
At the same time, somebody's gotta win, and there's gonna be a lot of losers. Like, not everybody can win MVP in the same season in the NBA or the NFL. Like, it's gotta go to one person, you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, like Blake Shelton, I know you don't really like, I don't know. I know you don't. You're not like a huge fan of country.
Yeah.
That surprises me because Blake Shelton is definitely one of the most notable names in the genre of country.
Yeah.
You could say, wow, Nas is never. Okay.
Yeah. To be fair, you're probably looking at the same thing I was looking at.
Yeah. Nas and Tupac, I kind of get because it's like they were most relevant for a short period of time. And like, yes, obviously Nas has made music since. It's not like terrible. Like, it's still good. It's not like he just fell off a cliff and it's just ass. But, like, he definitely was most relevant at the start of his career.
Yeah.
And, like, Tupac obviously died a little too early for us to really see how his career would go. Yeah. That's surprising. I definitely thought, wow.
Well, yeah. I feel like they were at their height of their career before, like, hip-hop was, like, really mainstream. And so, like, it was just, like, a really, like, I don't want to say underground genre, but it just wasn't the
Snoop
most
Snoop Dogg popular. Has never gotten a Grammy?
Yeah. I can see why, though. Like, he's not necessarily, like... Well, I guess he is kind of commercially, like, really successful, but I feel like most people...
you don't necessarily have to be the most commercially successful artist to win. Like, you could just be such a talented individual in your craft that you win because of, like, how critically acclaimed the album is. You know what I mean?
But I think with Snoop Dogg, while he has had some really good albums... I think a lot of the
Doggy time... Doggy Style's lit.
I think a lot of the time, it's his features that people, like, really enjoy more.
French Montana?
Yeah. Like, Snoop Dogg's not a feature artist, but his features do generally, I would say, outweigh his, like, solo projects.
That's a hot take.
It might be a hot take because
I am the complete opposite. I think that Snoop Dogg's solo work is fire.
It's good. I'm just saying, like, in terms of the public eye of people, like,
oh, I would still say the otherwise. Like,
really?
You think of? Actually, now that you mention it, I could totally see some of the features he's done, especially earlier on in his career. That I'm like, yeah, people definitely would think of that as a Snoop Dogg before they think of some of his solo songs. But like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess it's a little different. Like, just looking at it from a public eye and, like, the general consensus, I would have thought that, like, more people would know Snoop Dogg for his solo artist work rather than his features, aside from maybe a couple features that were just, like, so notable because that's what jumpstarted his career.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. I didn't know Snoop Dogg never won an award. But that's what I'm saying is, like, Snoop Dogg is probably, like, almost unanimously considered as one of the greatest rappers of all time, not because of his like lyricism or anything, but just like overall, like his influence, how he was able to rap, how he put West Coast hip hop like really on the map further, and like just everything he did earlier on in his career and up till now, honestly. And like, he's never won a Grammy, but like, I don't think anyone's gonna hold that against him. So why do people hold these Grammy awards to such high regard?
Again, I have no clue. Who,
like,
cares?
I don't know. It bugs me. It irks me sometimes. That's why I wanted to ask you this question, because of this whole weekend thing. Like, to me, the most notable R&B artist of this last decade, from 2010 till now, would have been The Weeknd. That would have been my number one pick. But, and like, obviously he won some Grammys, but like, damn, the fact that he didn't even get any recognition for his latest album, which is like, everyone holds Michael Jackson to such high regard, and Prince. And I'm like, this guy literally sounds like a byproduct of the two. And not only did he pass it with flying colors, like critically, like commercially, like he brought an 80s sound through Blinding Lights and like some of these songs, and it sounds good.
Yeah.
Like it sounds good for its time. And like he's not getting any recognition by the Grammys. So like more and more, I think more and more artists, yeah, low-key though, have said fuck the Grammys as of late. And like I'm kind of on that train, not to the extent that like you should just like get rid of the award entirely. But it is still interesting at the end of the year to see like what people think is the best. And like just like general consensus. But like I don't think you need to hold so much weight that like if an artist doesn't win a Grammy, that they're not worth as much kind of thing. Like that's trash.
See, my thing is like I think most of the time, like the majority, over 50%, not like crazy amount of time, but over 50% of the time, they are just straight up wrong. The Grammys just like either whether it's rigged or they're just their opinion sucks. And then the other part of the time is like they might, some one artist might have come out with an incredible project, but you have to understand like it's a snapshot at that time. Like the other artist that they're up against might have just come out with phenomenal stuff at the same time. Whereas like if you would compare that project to like the year before or the next year, maybe it wins.
No, that's actually, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Like you can't really compare, I don't want to say eras because it is on a year by year basis. Yeah. Like someone could release a ridiculously good project one year and it loses to another ridiculously good project. But like overall that first artist that didn't win might've had a better like career overall.
Yeah.
But because he released like this, you know what I mean? Like someone's peak might've been better than this other person, but this other person's career as a whole was definitely way better.
Yeah.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you got any more topics. This might be a shorter one, but
that's no. Okay. I was a little heated. I was reading comments on Instagram, and you can't beat the internet. But there's so many ignorant comments. I'm like, do you think before you write this, like,
dude, bro?
Don't get me wrong. Like, some of it's subjective, but like this person straight up just saying that like the Weeknd was trash. And it's because he didn't win a Grammy. And I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
This guy has won multiple Grammys. Not only is he commercially successful, he's critically successful. And like, he's one of the biggest names in pop/R&B that you could ask. I would argue he's probably the biggest name in pop/R&B as a solo male
artist. Right now, for sure.
Like, you could make the argument for like someone like Justin Bieber who does like pop. Or you could make the argument for someone who's definitely a little more invested into like straight R&B, because The Weeknd's definitely a hybrid. But I would not say that I could name someone bigger that is straight up just doing pop and R&B.
Yeah.
Like, especially at this point in time.
I don't
think you can. Like, so many people know who The Weeknd is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, everybody loves it. Okay. Well.
True. True.
I take that back. I didn't say that. That's cringe.
I'm gonna pretend like you didn't say that.
Yeah, I'll just cut it out. We'll fix it in post. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Whether you're watching or listening, next episode, fingers crossed, we got Steven back because our scheduling has been all over the place.
Can we go 3 for 3? He's been working a lot though, so
yeah, that's true. He is back at work.
I give that to him. COVID it's kind of like I think it's a little easier for me and you because we're on consistent schedules.
Yeah, but that's fair. Well, anyways, all right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Let's see you.